Hebrews chapter 11, one verse we've come to in verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Obviously, we are continuing in this passage, in this chapter of this great book of Hebrews, in this letter written by, I believe, the Apostle Paul to the Hebrew saints. We have come to this chapter, verse chapter 11, and we are continuing to look and see what faith, what God's faith, what true faith, not necessarily what men call faith, but what God calls faith, and what is true faith, and what saving faith, what this faith produces. We actually have before us an inspired list. God actually gave us a list of people and the accounts of their life so that we may know, as we study their lives, that we may know God's faith, what God's faith produced upon their lives and in their lives. And so, and knowing this, we may know just how great and just how supernatural and just how miraculous this soul-saving, life-changing gift of God really is. Faith. We see many wonderful things that this faith produces just here in this chapter, in these 20 verses of this chapter so far. And I'm not going to review that list for time's sake. But we have also seen, as we progress through this list of these names that God has given us, of these saints from ages past, that as we come to each new name and each new example, we see much of what we have seen in the preceding names, but then at the same time, we see new elements of what faith produces. And the same is true today. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit does this. In our last lesson concerning the faith of Isaac in verse 20, the focus of verse 20 is actually the content of the blessing pronounced by Isaac upon his two sons. The content of the blessing pronounced upon Jacob and Esau by Isaac. The content was the things concerning the future there that we looked at and considered in verse 20. But today in verse 21, we see that the Holy Spirit draws our attention not to the content of the blessings of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, although there is great content to be found there in that blessing. There is precise prophecy to be found there in that blessing, even content of particular importance to even you and I. But the focus of verse 21, where the Holy Spirit wants us to look and to study and to see what His faith produced in Jacob, is not the content of the blessing, but how Jacob blessed his grandsons. How Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons. But actually, the first thing we should see is even before we get to the grandsons. Even before we get there. Here it is. Verse 21, by faith, when he was dying, we'll leave that clause, that little clause, when he was dying till next week. By faith, when he was dying, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. He blessed both the sons of Joseph. You know what faith produces? First this morning, it produces blessings. Faith, God's faith, produces blessings. How great a gift it is, this gift of faith that God has given to you. How great a blessing it is, this faith, God's faith, upon our life. And what we see here is, you know, the reality of this is that Jacob never dreamed of a day like this verse is talking about. He never dreamed of a day like this. Just a few days before this blessing of his grandsons, just a few days before that, this was the son, Joseph was the son that Jacob's heart ached for. That his heart ached for. This Joseph was his favorite son, his royal son. We all know the account of the coat of many colors. Well, that coat of many colors spoke of royalty. This was the son. This was the son that Jacob just knew. Jacob knew this son Joseph was predestined for greatness. He knew that. He believed that. You'll remember the account of the dreams that Joseph had, the dreams of Joseph's dominion, and got him sold into slavery, because when he told his brothers about how he would rule over them, they hated him. But the passage there in Genesis 37, it says this of Jacob, his dad. It said that Jacob observed the saying. When Jacob spoke of those dreams to his brothers, they hated him. But when he spoke of those dreams to his dad, Jacob, he observed the saying. He paid attention. He was expecting great things from this, his favored son. Great things. He believed that this son, Joseph, was predestined for greatness. But then, in comes his brothers with his coat, that coat of many colors, in their hands, covered in blood. This son, as Jacob, as he saw and believed, had been savagely killed. This son had been snatched out of his youth. This son, Joseph, had been snatched out of his hands. We know, don't we? We should. We've seen it very clearly, even in this study of this, just this one chapter, chapter 11, that the life of true faith is not easy. It's not easy. Saints, it's not going to be easy. Don't believe lies and liars that tell you, oh, if you have enough faith and your life is just easy. We have plenty, plenty of God's own instruction, plenty of God's own declaration, plenty of the accounts of God's saints' lives, that the life of faith, the life of true faith, is not easy. It is often, often cumbered with load and care. It is often full of pain and full of agony and pain and full of discouragement and full of setback. And this man Jacob, this man Jacob that is spoken of in verse 21, God has given us several chapters of detailing his life. And I'm going to tell you something about the life of Jacob. It was an absolute roller coaster. That's what it was. As a matter of fact, we know the account very well of Joseph, how he was taken from him, but we probably not even notice some of the other things that happened to Jacob even before Joseph was taken, and then after as well. There was the rape of his daughter Dinah, then the revenge of his sons in murdering those that did this to her. His mother died. You remember that mother that he was so close to that sent him and said, I'll send for you. You'll come back. He never saw her again. He never saw her again. Rebekah, you remember Rebekah. You remember how Laban fooled Jacob about Rebekah and Leah. Well, Rebekah was the one, the wife that his soul loved. He lost her. She died. Then shortly after that, Isaac, his father, died. While he was away taking care of that business, his true firstborn, Reuben, committed adultery with Rachel's maid, Jacob's own concubine. And then there was this great famine in the land. A famine so great that they were to the point in Canaan that they either die of starvation or they go to Egypt. And then, upon sending his sons to Egypt to get food, to sustain their lives, his son Simeon is imprisoned there. Jacob's life was no picnic. It was no picnic, and that's just some of the issues in Jacob's life. And we know, don't we, that sometimes these things happening seemingly one upon another in our lives take a toll upon our lives, take a toll upon our faith, don't they? Well, it did in Jacob's life. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I just want to kind of skim through this and kind of give us an idea of Jacob's mindset here. And I'm setting the background up to come back here in Hebrews 11, so don't lose your spot there. In Genesis chapter 42, let's look and see the mind of the man Jacob. Okay? Genesis chapter 42 and verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was no corn, no grain in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? Why are you just standing there? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, the youngest brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, here's the mind of Jacob. He said this, lest peradventure, perhaps, mischief befall him. Some calamity. I'm not sending. Y'all go down there and get some food. But Benjamin's not going with you. Unless some calamity fall upon him. That's kind of pessimistic, isn't it? You're not taking him. Something's liable to happen to him. Verse 35. Look over at verse 35 of the same chapter. And it came to pass, this was when the brothers came back home from Egypt after they went to get food. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that were full of the grain, that behold, every man's bundle of money, the money that was supposed to have been to purchase the grain with, every man's money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto me, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. Simeon was kept there in the prison. Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Speaking of Benjamin, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead. He's talking about Benjamin. The brother that is dead is Joseph. And he, this brother, this young Benjamin, is alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. That's fear, isn't it? Fear. Even you could, I think we could see some bitterness there as well. Move to chapter 43. And verse 6, chapter 43 and verse 6. And Israel, Jacob said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had yet a brother? Why'd you even tell him you had a brother? Why'd you even tell him? Verse 13, take also your brother. Go ahead. Take your brother Benjamin and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. That passage, that last little clause there in the Hebrew is just bereaved, bereaved. Bereaved, bereaved. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. Chapter 44, verse 18. Here is the conversation. Listen to this conversation between Judah, Joseph's brother, Jacob's son, and Joseph. So they have went back down to Egypt now. And Judah is there with Joseph in chapter 44 and verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him. He came up to Joseph and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Remember this, Joseph. My Lord, you asked his servants, you asked us, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, a young one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall see my face no more. And it shall come to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my father, and our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go. If our brother Benjamin doesn't go with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out for me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this one also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the ground. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. If I go back and Benjamin is not with us, our father will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety Judah saying, I became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame of my father forever. Isn't someone else in Scripture a surety? That's what it means. Christ is a surety. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. Pessimism, fear, bitterness, hopelessness, desperation. This is life, is it not? Even our lives, is it not? But now, chapter 45. Chapter 45 and verse 25. And when they went up out of Egypt, the brothers, when they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when Jacob saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Yes, our life, yes, we do encounter pessimism. We are pessimist at times. We do encounter fear, bitterness, hopelessness, desperation. This is our life, but do we see here the blessing of faith, the hope of faith, the blessing of faith? This is the blessing of faith. This is what faith produces. Jacob said, it doesn't matter what the past has been. It doesn't matter what the past has been. It is enough that my son Joseph, my beloved son, is alive. By faith, Jacob, while he was dying in the last days of his life, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Of Joseph. The son who he had lost. The son that he never dreamed that he would ever see him again, let alone his children. Him. Faith. God's faith produces blessings. Blessings that can't be comprehended, blessings that we sure don't deserve, but blessings from above. God's faith produces blessings. Understand, yes, we've been seeing this faith, this great faith, this supernatural faith, this faith that is a gift of God, but it's more personal than that. It's even more wonderful than that. God's faith, it is a blessing to and upon our lives. Faith, true faith, is not something that we should hesitate about. True faith is not something that we should shrink back from, but we should desire, we should long for, we should devote ourselves completely to it, because true faith, it produces nothing negative, only positive, only blessings. How blessed, saints of God, how blessed you are, how blessed we are to possess this faith, this most glorious gift of God. This most blessed thing as this faith of God. It is a blessing. Faith produces blessings. Joseph, he blessed the sons of Joseph. Faith produces blessings. And then number two, faith also produces boldness. By faith, Jacob blessed Joseph's sons. Our text in Hebrews 11, stay here in Genesis, we're going to see a few more things here, but I'll remind us. In the text in Hebrews 11, the Spirit of God points to not to the content of the blessing, but to the occasion of the blessing of Joseph's sons. To the occasion of it. Or we could say how Jacob blessed Joseph's sons. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit do that? I mean, Jacob blessed his own sons. But the Holy Spirit draws this into Jacob blessing Joseph's sons. And later in the account in Genesis, we see that Jacob did bless his own sons. But why? What does the Holy Spirit want us to see? What does he want us to see about how Jacob blessed Joseph's sons? Remember, we must always, you know, the account should mean for us, if we are getting down to the root of God's word, it should mean to us what it meant to them that it was written to. And this letter of Hebrews was written to weak saints. It was written to saints that needed help, saints that needed exhortation, saints that needed encouragement. You and I, saints, those kind of saints. What is the Holy Spirit trying to show us in how Jacob blessed Joseph's sons? Well, let's see it. Chapter 48 and verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons. Here's the account. Here's the account of the blessing. Israel, Jacob, beheld Joseph, that son that was lost but has come again. He beheld Joseph's son and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, Jacob said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. Y'all understand, Jacob and Israel are the same man. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him. And Jacob, Israel, kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." Oh, what blessing. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself to his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near. So Joseph is arranging the situation here. He's bringing the firstborn, Manasseh, to the right hand of his father, the right hand of the firstborn blessing. Okay? That's what he's doing. That's the reason it tells us what he's doing. He put Manasseh to Jacob's right hand. He put Ephraim to Jacob's left hand. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Just like this. Okay? Here's Manasseh. This right hand should go to the firstborn. But Jacob didn't do that. Then he did this. He laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand, just like this, his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long and to this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." Faith produces blessings, but two, faith produces boldness. Do you see the boldness here? Now, let me draw it out of here for us. Parents, let's talk to the parents a minute. We want to give our children what they want, don't we? We love to give our children what we want, what they want, and we want to give them what they want, and sometimes so badly we want to give them what they want so badly it's to ours and their detriment. But we want to. Yes, here especially Jacob, this Joseph was his beloved favored son. This Joseph was the one that he lost, but now he had him back. So the last thing that he wanted to do is deprive Joseph of what Joseph wanted. You understand that as a parent? But faith's boldness said, "No, Joseph. No. No." Faith's boldness intentionally crossed his hands to pronounce the blessing of the firstborn, the greater blessing, and the blessing that humanly belonged to Manasseh, instead to bless the younger Ephraim with that blessing. But also here, realize Jacob, an old man near to death. We just read the account. He just opposed the desire of the second in command of the known world. Do you understand what I'm saying? The brothers, and matter of fact, even Pharaoh said, "I'm giving it all to you. You take care of everything." The brothers, we read, Judah said, "You are as Pharaoh, the leader of the known world." Jacob, in his dying days, just denied him. Just denied him. You might say, well, it was his son and that was his father. Yeah, and if you're reading God's word, there are many accounts where that wound up in death for one of them. He just denied the second in command of the known free world. And we may not realize it at first, but this was the kind of stuff that would, on one hand, break your heart, and on the other hand, make your knees knock together. But in the boldness of faith, Jacob prevailed. And make sure we see here, we need to see this. If we by God's grace have been given this faith, we should also know something about this boldness. But we need to know about this boldness because our heart and our lives, our minds will lie to us about this boldness. This boldness is not rudeness. This boldness is not about just traditions. But if you look in verse 14 here, it says that he guided his hands wittingly. Jacob knew what he was doing. He knew full well what he was doing. There was no mistaking it. It was not because of senility or bad eyesight. No. As a matter of fact, in verse 19, he said to Joseph, "I know." And he repeats it, "I know." So let us learn here that the boldness of faith is born out of knowledge. The boldness of faith is born out of knowledge, the knowledge of the will of God, the knowledge of the way of God. So then it must be then, right? The knowledge of the Word of God. The boldness of faith is born out of the knowledge of God's Word. That's how we know the will of God, is it not? That's how we know the way of God, is it not? If you think that you can know that of yourself, you're wrong. You'll get it wrong every time. We will get it wrong every time. Lean not unto your own understanding. That is the way that leads to death, the way that leads to destruction. Lean not unto, don't do that which is right in your own eyes, but we have the Word of God. We have the complete revelation, the inspired, breathed Word of God in this book. So this boldness of faith is born out of the knowledge of this book. Let us see here that true boldness of faith is God-given conviction, God-given commitment, God-given constancy in and from the Word of God, the Word of truth, the Word of true knowledge. That's what true boldness is. It's not rudeness. It's not about tradition. It's about this book. It's about this book. Jacob possessed this boldness in which he denied his son that he wanted to please. You know he wanted to please. Parents, we know that he wanted to please that son. He wanted to give that son, that precious son, that son he just got back. He didn't want to go now and say no to him. And deprive him of what he wanted. Joseph had brought his sons to be blessed of the father, and it was important and it meant something. And he wanted the blessing of the firstborn upon the firstborn. But Jacob said no. And Jacob said no to that great leader of the world.
Jacob was nobody. Nobody.
His boldness was grounded in the Word of God. He knew. He knew the will of God. God had told him. This faith that we have been given from God is not because of us, but it is given to us freely by God's sovereign grace and by God's sovereign mercy. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And saints, it is not anything to be ashamed of. It is not anything to be ashamed of. It's not anything to be shy about. Bless God. God gave us this faith. And it moves us. It should move us more and more to a holy boldness. To a holy boldness. This book is our God. This book, you understand what I mean by that? This book being the Word of God. This is how God reveals Himself to us. This is how God reveals Himself, His will to us. It's not some figment of our imagination. It's not some sign and wonder. Now it's this book. It's this book. God's Word. We don't have to be ashamed of that, saints. It's not rudeness. It's not rudeness. It's not anger. You don't see that in Jacob. Well, Ephesians 4:15 tells us this, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Holy boldness. Saints, don't we know that Jesus Christ is God and King of heaven and earth? Don't we know that? Do you know that Jesus Christ is God and King of heaven and earth? Don't you know His Gospels? We know His Gospel. We know that He has died. We know how that He died. We know why that He has died. We also know, though, don't we, that He's risen again. He's risen victorious over death. He has risen victorious over sin, victorious over hell. We know what He has done to save us, and that so that we can be His. So that we can be His, so that we can be reconciled unto God Himself, so that we can be His sons and His daughters. We know that there is truth. And it's His truth. Do you know that? That there is truth and it's His truth. His truth. We know that there is hope. There is hope and it's His hope. His hope. We know that there is glory, but it is His glory. It's His glory. The fact of the matter is, saints, we are always worrying about everyone else. We're always worrying about what others think, what others say, what others will do. How about what God thinks? How about what He thinks? And don't we know? I know we move our whole lives around what are the perception of people. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't live before people in such a way, but oftentimes that's not our motivation. Our motivation in perceiving the way people think is so that they won't think we are some radicals for the Lord. It's just the opposite of what it should be. It is. We worry about what people think and what people say and what people will do. But don't we understand? Have we not learned? Do we not know that if this God is for us, who can be against us? Who can come against us? Don't we know that none can condemn us? No one can condemn us, saints. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Oh, but we're so outnumbered. What? What? We're so outnumbered. God's on our side. You need to rethink that math. It is true today, just what was true in the day of Elisha, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. We just can't see it with these eyes. We just can't see it. We're getting to, when we come to chapter 12, the first thing talks about the cloud of witnesses. Brothers and sisters, they're with us. They're with us. We ought to be
We ought to be full of the Lord. We ought to be running over with the Lord, spilling over with Him, spilling over with His Word. The host and the captain of the Lord of hosts is on our side. Who will we fear? We read those passages and we read them, we just say, and then we're over in the corner somewhere afraid. Afraid to speak the truth. Now, we ought to be spilling over with Him and His Word, primarily for Him, but also for others living without hope in this hopeless world. They who so desperately need Him, they don't need religion, they need Christ. They need Him. They need a God that can save them. A God who saves them in power. A God who saves them in His strength. A God who brings His Word effectually and personally to them and saves them and rescues them from the fires of hell that they are headed to. That's the kind of God that the people all around us in our lives need. They need a God that can save. This is the God that can save. He can save them. He does it through His Word. Do we not know that? He does it through His Word. Not what we believe about His Word. No, His Word. That's how He saves. Lord, help us. Lord, keep us from cowering in the corner. But let us live up and speak up in love to first God and man as well, in the knowledge of God's Word. Jacob said, I know, son. I know. How did he know? God told him so. That's how he knows. Saints, God's told us so. God's told us so. Don't be ashamed of God's truth. We're ashamed of God if we're ashamed of His truth. Because it's His truth. We don't have to be ashamed of His truth. It's right here. It's in the book. Stick by this book. Stick by the Bible. We don't have to be ashamed of anything. We are the Lord's, and He is ours. Whom shall we fear? No one. No, God gives us this boldness of true faith. We know. God gives us this boldness. The boldness of true faith knows and lives and speaks the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. Number three, this faith produces blessing. This faith produces boldness. And then finally, this faith produces obeisance to God. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and, here it is, worshiped. Worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So here Jacob has come to the end of his life. He's come to the end of his life, and here he has the great blessing and at the same time a bold task of pronouncing a blessing on each of his grandsons from Joseph. The son that he believed for most of Jacob's life, he believed that son was lost. He never dreamed that he would see that son again, let alone his children. He said, it is enough. It is enough. Joseph is alive. And what was left? What was left but to give his God, the one who accomplished it all, the glory. He looks down through the corridor of his life now. He was able to do that in retrospect. He looked down through his life and he is able to see that his life was in reality this, saints. His life was in reality God. God. That's what his life was. His life was under the power. His life was under the protection. His life was under the providential hand of God. His life was God. And oh, such a glorious God. That's what a life of faith is. It is a life lived under the blessing of God. And not really just lived under it. It is a life, saints. Our whole
life and existence, a life and existence of blessing, a life and existence of God Himself. Isn't that what we know? Don't we know that? Scripture says you do. Romans 8:28, and we know. How do we know? Faith. This faith, that's how. This faith that's bound up on the Word of God, is on the God of the Word. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. They were called, we are called through faith. Jacob looked down the corridor of his life, and amidst all of that trouble, amidst all of that roller coaster, he knew it was God. He knew it was God. And he bowed to that God and worshiped Him. Saints, do we possess this blessed gift of faith? If so, then let us praise and worship the God who has given us such a glorious life. It is a glorious life. It is. You might say, but God's going to erase all those buts. He's going to take them all away. It is a life filled with many struggles, many pain, many agony, much agony, ups and downs. But soon we will all see, saints, without exception, we will all see if we continue in this faith. Soon we will see that all and everything was a blessing from God. All and everything was God Himself arranging our lives for His glory, His purpose, His pleasure. That God would take sinners like us who were bound and deserving of the fires of hell, sinners like us who were bound and deserving of eternal separation from God. I mean, just thrown away from God. Dead to God, useless to God. God in mercy and in grace, because He is so great, He would come and take us up and make us, reform us and refashion us in the power of His Holy Spirit and set our lives on a course that He would use for Him, for His purpose, for His glory. That's what God has done for us, saints of God. That's what He has accomplished and is accomplishing through this life of faith. This faith of life. Oh, how blessed these lives that God has given us. How blessed they are. I know so much of the time we sit over in the corner and we mope and complain, this we don't have and that what we don't have. Guess what, saints? There's a reason you don't. If you're a child of God, there's a reason you don't. Well, I've got this and I got. If you're a child of God, there's a reason you do. And it's God. He's the He's the reason. We cannot suppose upon the mighty wisdom, the perfect wisdom of God. We cannot suppose upon our circumstances, those things we can't explain. Why this, why that? The only thing I can tell you is that I'm just the clay. But there is a potter. And He's arranged our whole existence and He's fashioned it in His hands. He's the sovereign who always, always, always brings about His pleasure. You are His. His pleasure. His pleasure is to give you Himself. His pleasure is to do something through your life for Himself. Because the greatest of all greats is the glory of God. What a blessed life it is, the life of faith. So far from what we deserve, but exactly what our great and wonderfully good and glorious God has determined for us. Exactly. Saint, there is not one thing in your life and not one thing outside of your life that God has not determined for you. Not one thing. You say, but I can't explain those buts, but He can. He will. He will. I love Job 23. I've got it written on my wall. Job 23 and verse 8, listen. Behold, you know the life of Job. Behold, I go forward
but he is not there. God is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him, meaning I look forward and back, I can't find him. I can't find him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Listen, but he knoweth the way I take. What a comfort that is. When you're on the up in the highs and the lows of that roller coaster, and you can't find God, and he's not in front, and he's not in behind, and he's not beside, on the right or the left, I can't see him. I know he's working, but I can't perceive him. I can't perceive his work, but he knoweth. Fall into those hands, child of God. He knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Not I might, no, no. I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. What is that? This book. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Even that he doeth. Listen. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. That's our God, saints. I'm so thankful that that's our God. Aren't you? I'm so thankful for this faith of God that lets us look in his word and see these great things about our God and believe them. I may not know, I may not be able to touch him, I may not be able to feel him, I can't understand what's going on in my life, but I can rest in our great sovereign, he knows. I can find shelter under the shelter, under the shadow of his wings, and know that he knows. I can rest there. I could cast my life upon him, upon his strength, upon his wisdom, upon his power, and rest. Oh yes, these lives are full of trouble. But saints, it is the very life that God in his great infinite wisdom would have us to have. It is the very life that our all worship worthy God would have us to live. So saints, weak saints, we all are, aren't we? Don't doubt. Don't shrink back, but trust. Trust. Trust him. Trust this God, the God of this book. Trust him. Cast yourself in his arms and trust this great God who has given us this blessed life of faith. By the way, we haven't gotten it by mistake. You understand that, right? You know, if you possess this faith, you didn't get it by mistake. If you possess this faith, you didn't just reach up and take it. No, if you have this faith, God gave it to you. He gave it. By faith, saints, we have a blessed life. By faith, we should have a boldness born out of God's truth, this book, this word. By faith, let us worship our God, the God of our life. This is what faith, true faith, produces. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word this morning. Let's go to him.